You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm Amy Alpers. It's holiday time, Wes.
I know. What's happening to this calendar year? I mean, the 1st of December already? Are you kidding me?
I know. It's exciting. It's we have fake snow in Lincoln Center to look forward to, so it feels like a real holiday season out here.
Well, and the cool thing is there's lots of snow in the mountains and people are skiing. And so, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday is such a busy holiday weekend for skiing. So they had a successful holiday weekend, which is awesome. And yeah, now it's all, towards 2023. I mean, we're jamming.
We're jamming and we're shopping. That's actually the focus of our episode today, you guys. It's all about holiday shopping and supporting local. I did just want to say one thing, though. I'm very glad that we live in California. In Central California, and we don't actually have to deal with holiday weather. Even though I gave a plug for the snow in Lincoln Center, I'm very happy with our 50 degrees colds here for the holidays. So
it is a good thing. The holidays have to feel for me a little cooler than to actually enjoy the holiday. Like, I couldn't imagine Christmas in Phoenix. That's just not me. I like it cooler, not warm during December.
Oh, man. I've been on a cruise for Christmas before, and I thought it was awesome. So I can't complain. Whatever. But yes, like I mentioned, something that is always on our minds for the holiday season is our holiday shopping. So we're very excited to have Lauren Tarullo, who's the owner of Senna Luna. It's a gift shop on Stockton's Miracle Mile, and she's going to talk to us today about the holiday shopping and some cool ideas and whatnot. So welcome to the show, Lauren, and thank you for taking some time to talk with us. We're very excited to learn all about you and the store. And before we get all into that, can you share a little bit with us about your background and your story about your return to Stockton?
Sure. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I am one of many, I'm sure, avid This is Stockton listeners. So I'm stoked to be here. I am not a native Stocktonian. I was born in Southern California, but we moved here at a very young age. And I lived in Stockton until I was in my teens, went away for college to the Bay Area, and kind of have been hopping around the Bay Area, Chicago and Denver for the past 12 years. And then just before COVID, just kind of serendipitously, my husband and I decided to move back to Stockton. We made that decision Thanksgiving of 2019. And we moved into our house just off the Miracle Mile on March 12th, 2020. And
timing.
Then the stay at home order came down on the 15th. And so I had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to be doing here in Stockton. It was a really good time to be back. I think despite the fact that things were closed and people were going through a really hard time, it really allowed me to reconnect with my family in a way that felt very meaningful and very real. And those relationships have supported me through the last 2 years and since we opened the store. And I'm not sure I answered your question.
You totally answered the question. You were from here, and then you left, and now you're back and killing it. So we dig it.
So not knowing you as well as Amy does, okay. So what exactly was the store in the plan before you moved to Stockton, or what was it just the pandemic, like, fog, like, hey, let's open a store. There's nothing else going on.
I think it was a combination. So my background is a combination of like traditional art, design, interior design, and mostly merchandising. So I've worked at Anthropology, West Elm, Bloomingdale's, kind of some of the bigger name stores for doing like window display and stuff like that. And so that's always been something that's really of interest to me, but not something that normally would be on the table for a city like Stockton for me to do. So I have a master's degree in museum education, and when I first was moving home to Stockton, I was actually in the process of interviewing for a job at the Hagen in education capacity. But then obviously the Hagen shut down, and that job wasn't a necessity anymore because the museum wasn't even operating. So opening a store was something that I think I had always considered, but never really felt like was possible. And I think that's partially because I've only ever lived in like pretty metropolitan cities where there is a ton of competition and obviously like a huge cost of entry to something like that. And we started seeing all these vacant spaces on the Miracle Mile, and it just organically became like this oft discussed topic at the dinner table. You know, like, what would that look like? How much would it actually cost for us to do something like that? Do we think that there's an audience in Stockton that could support an idea like this? And the more conversations we had about it, the more it started to really make sense for us to do. So we opened our doors on June 18th, 2021. So we've been open for just over a year, and then we've been really successful, more successful than I thought was possible in the first year. And I really think that that's entirely thanks to being in a community like Stockton.
So is there significance to the name Santa Luna?
Yes.
you just pull it out of
the air. I laugh because, yeah, just pulled it out of the air. I laugh because when people hear it, like Santa literally means table or dinner, and moon, like Luna obviously like has associations of like lunar, moon, etc. So my short answer when I like don't feel like explaining it is it's dinner under the moon.
That totally makes sense for a store.
Yes. So but the long answer is the store has a lot of roots in kitchen. It is ultimately like a housewares and gift shop, but we have a huge specialty pantry selection, a lot of cookbooks, table linens, dishes. So it's certainly centered on a person who cares about being in the kitchen and like who that's a sacred space for them. And that is something that is really important to me because it was really important to my mom because it was really important to her mom. And so for me, the name Santa Luna, thinking about Luna in terms of women and the lunar cycle, is about women coming together and sharing the table and how we use sharing a meal and preparing a meal for others as an expression of love.
That's fantastic.
It makes sense.
That is a really cool story. Yeah.
Thank you.
Being a friend of Lauren and having been able to participate in some parties and whatnot that she's had, could you only imagine the kind of table setting that this lady has when you show up at her house? Like, the amount of, like, yeah. Sure. She had a butter board at the last party I went to. I was like, I've been seeing these on TikTok and I am like obsessed. So
I want a butter board.
Lauren loves to host, and obviously that feeling of like hosting and bringing people together is very much shown in Santa Luna. So, and Lauren, you touched a bit on like saying that, you know, the specialty is like kitchen giftwares. So what are some of the things that people can find at Santa Luna?
So the concept of the store is like a general store. There's a store in San Francisco that's actually called General Store. It's been there, my guess, for at least 15 or 20 years. And it was the first store of its kind that I had ever seen. I lived down the street from it when I was in my early 20s. And basically the concept is things that you need for your everyday life, but just elevated. You know, you don't think about necessarily buying like a nice soap for yourself. You're going to Target and getting a soap. But there is something sort of ceremonial in purchasing something that you use every day that's of really high quality. So now there are lots of general stores out in the world, but so far in Stockton, we haven't really had that. And so that was the idea, was what can we bring to Stockton that people are using every day, but that they don't necessarily have like a nicer alternative for? And then really applying that to like every facet of your life. So we carry a significant portion of self-care products, soaps, oils, stuff for your face, stuff for your body. We carry a large selection of candles. None of the brands that we carry in store are available at any other store in the San Joaquin Valley. We carry kitchenwares. So I think we talked a little bit about like table linens, some kitchen tools, ceramics, things to decorate your house with. And then we also have a huge selection of pantry. So a ton of condiments, snacks, chocolates, coffees, etc., cookbooks. And then we have a small selection of jewelry, toys and goods for baby, and men's and women's accessories like hats.
So like my husband's favorite, it's like a sauce guy's dream over at Santa Luna, like all sorts of funky sauces and accoutrements to add to your meals. And my husband is like absolutely obsessed with it. She's always got the goods. And then what is your process like adding things to the store? Like, are you, do you get to go out and you're like, I don't know. I don't know how people buy things for stores. I don't own a store. So
I think it's probably changed a lot since the pandemic. So like my experience could be totally different from somebody who opens something like before 2020. But I've never been to a trade show. Like I've never interacted with a lot of the brands that I buy from in person. It's all virtual for me.
Like Instagram virtual or what?
Like Instagram virtual.
Nice.
I would say that I use Instagram as a tool more than any other social media platform. And most of what I'm doing is scouting and resourcing brands. And I'd say for pantry specifically, like a lot of the brands that we carry are things that people in Stockton have been targeted on Instagram for. Things like Fly by Jing, Graza Olive Oil, Brightland Olive Oil, like brands that we've been seeing pop up in social media that are just doing like crazy money and targeted ads on Instagram, but that they've never actually been able to see in person unless they've been bold enough to order it. So I think it's really exciting, especially for younger people who like, you know, I think that there's this preconceived notion that Stockton is lame. So I think for young people that are walking into a store that carries all these brands that they've only heard of, that, you know, they know their cousin from San Francisco or LA or whatever, like has that stuff and like raves about it, is a really cool experience. And that was something that was really important to me to kind of provide. So I'd say virtual is the name of the game for me. I'm looking for brands that have a little street cred that like, you know, I've heard of or that friends of mine have heard of. And then also thinking about, how is this being made? Like, how thoughtful are the makers of this brand in terms of like, is it being made in a way that is sustainable? Is it being made in a way that's fair trade? Is it using materials that are good for the environment? Are the people who are making this product like really invested in what they're doing? What's the story like of the brand? And how are they giving back to their own communities from like a philanthropic perspective?
So it's all intentional, and that's what we love. You go in there and it doesn't feel, I don't know, there's cute stuff at Target. We get it. We've been there. We like Target.
We love Target.
But you go into Santa Lucia and it feels like you're shopping at your friend's house. Like there's just a lot of thought behind all the items that are in there. And it makes me feel even better now knowing that there's the brands that you're providing also have intention to their meanings as well. So very cool.
And I think that's important. I mean, I think there are a lot of folks, you know, we talk a lot about sustainability in this office and not being so wasteful. And I'm not sure if there's a lot of stores in Stockton that really put that much thought into how they acquire products. And I've actually been the recipient of a gift from your store. I think Amy got my Christmas gift last
obviously
year, because you have bitters, which to me is a kitchen essential.
Yeah.
you know, you got to have something with your bourbon. But I think that wide variety of product that you mentioned, I think people may think you have a rather large store too. Now, big is this store? How many square feet
are
you?
That's a great question, because I do think like I'm describing Costco basically.
Yeah, right.
It's not. So we the location is it's 2106 Pacific Avenue, so on the Miracle Mile. We are sandwiched between Alverson's upholstery studio. Fred Alverson is a longtime Stockton business owner, has kind of hopped around and is back on the Miracle Mile, which is really exciting. He has like a crazy loyal customer base, and he sends his customers to me, which is really lovely. And he's a wonderful neighbor. And then next door to us, we have Hidden Gem, which is a new store. They've only been open for a couple of months, but they were previously open in the mall. And so this is a huge jump for them to be on the Miracle Mile. And, you know, it seems like they're doing really well. So my space used to be the paint storage room and the wallpaper display at the old Benjamin Moore location. So it was always part of the place where Alverson's is now. And basically they just built a wall in between so that it's like a tiny little offshoot. The entire retail space is about 500 square feet. So it's really, it's pretty tight.
It's so cute though.
It's cute. We like that it's small. Yes. And in thinking
about, you would fill
about,
it with stuff if you had the space. You'd
yeah,
have.
I mean,
it's probably more
I
manageable.
Would find a way. Yeah. But I think what's really fun for me is trying to find a way to make sure that 500 square feet is as efficient, aesthetically pleasing, and shoppable as possible. So even though we have a lot of product, it's really tightly organized so that people don't have that sense of like, oh God, like I'm so overwhelmed. There's so much stuff in here. Because I don't like to shop that way, and I figure that other people don't either. So.
Well, you mentioned the Miracle Mile. What was the decision-making process? Was that like, okay, that's my neighborhood, that's where I'm going? Or was there some other thought process about landing in the historic Miracle Mile district?
That's a great question. I think I can say that I entertained other possibilities, but in my heart, I always wanted to be on the Miracle Mile. And I think that that is because I did not grow up in the UOP Caldwell Village, Tuxedo Park neighborhood. I grew up in Lincoln Village West and then Brookside. But I went to St. Mary's. So I had a lot of friends who went to Annunciation, Amy included, who, you know, kind of grew up in that neighborhood. And I remember being in middle school and high school. And if my mom had to run an errand at the Miracle Mile, which was relatively infrequent because, you know, she always had access to Lincoln Center, I always wanted to go with her because there was this feeling of magic and specialness on the Miracle Mile that I didn't feel other places in Stockton. And so when we moved here, that was the neighborhood that we really looked at both to live. And then when we started talking about opening a shop, it just really made sense. It felt like how cool to be able to walk to work if I really wanted to. How cool to be able to share this thing that's been living in my brain with people who I know who live in this neighborhood. And I've just been so pleased with the response from like the geographic community. They're just so psyched to have something like our store in our shop, and they're incredibly loyal and kind and generous with both their support and how they communicate with others about our shop. So I feel like we couldn't have possibly made a better decision.
So you feel like there's a sense of family on the Miracle Mile with other shops nearby? I mean, is it everybody's there to help each other out, right? That doesn't feel like there's a lot of competition.
No, it's very, it's not cohesive like Lincoln Center is. I think that's okay to say, like, you know, there's a lot of like different ideas, different expressions and different kinds of styles of merchandising. But I think what we do have in common, first of all, at least with the retail locations, other than Garden Flair, which is a Stockton institution and has been there forever, most of the stores that are retail on the Miracle Mile have opened in the past 24 months or changed hands in the past 24 wow. months. Mm-hmm. I think like 9 out of 10 of those owners are women, mostly awesome. Under 50. So there is this sense of like we need to be there for each other, both from like a safety perspective and just like, the Miracle Mile has been predominantly restaurant heavy forever. And so wanting to bring back a sense of like, this is a place that you can shop, not just a place you go to after 6 o'clock to go to Kokoro or to, you know, go to Time Me Up or whatever it is. So I really hope that we're able to continue fostering those relationships so that we can build a sense of desire from the community that the Miracle Mile is worth traveling to.
And it is. It's a jewel in the community, man. The Miracle Mile is – I did not – I went to school, like Lauren said, at Annunciation growing up. So I was familiar with the neighborhood we went to. I went to that Baskin-Robbins on the Miracle Mile like twice a week.
That was the spot.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then the Empire Theater, like I saw all the early Harry Potters there and what have you. So we spent a lot of time on the Miracle Mile as kids because it was on the way home. And I'd mentioned that before on this podcast. I grew up kind of on the east side of town. But now since I've returned to Stockton, and just to give it not even a shameless plug, just a plug to my friend Lauren here, the person who like threw me into my whole new network of friends, now that I've returned to Stockton, but I came back last summer. So just after she had been in town for a while, and she's like, I think she's kind of like the co-mayor or something of Stockton. She knows everyone and is friends with everyone. So it's made my transition a whole lot easier, but I now live off the Miracle Mile too. So I get to be one of those people who just obnoxiously like walks by Lauren's store and just like pokes our head in like, hey, you want to talk to us again? Like it feels so cool to be a part of like a neighborhood and getting to walk to places. Like I walked to John's Deli last weekend because I can, because it's down the street. I did not live in major metropolitan area. I was spent the past 14 years in Boise, Idaho. So I did not live in a down or near the downtown where I could just like walk and go do things. And now having that experience, it is like so refreshing in the fact that we live in a community of 350,000 people or whatever. And my husband and I both feel like we're part of a bigger city. Like just getting to walk somewhere and go eat or like go shop is so liberating. And you feel like it's so crazy. And I can't believe it. And I'm so delighted that I'm having that experience in my hometown. So, and it's thanks to people like Lauren. Sorry to get so sappy. That wasn't even the last question. That sounded like a wrap up, but it wasn't.
Yeah. I was going to say, we got to have a sappy alert.
That's my jam. We love some sap, guys.
I know. I can't help it. Okay. What I was going to ask though is, why do you think it's so important to be supporting small businesses during the holidays? But I'm going to give my answer real quick before Lauren does. If you're shopping at a small business on the Miracle Mile, and Adam, our producer, who none of you have met before, but he's in the background and we were talking before we started recording because we're both flying to go visit family members for the holidays. You can buy them some stuff at a cool store like a Santa Luna or what have you. They don't have this stuff in other areas. So like I bought hats for all the men in my life last year from Santa Luna. And these dudes are wearing these things like through because it's like their favorite hat because they've never seen one like it before. And it's because there's cool creative people who are curating things that are unique and you didn't get it from a big box. So that's part of my plug for shopping small and supporting local because you can just get some really cool handcrafted cool things that people haven't seen before. So there you go.
Wes, would you like me to go?
Like, I wasn't ready for that.
I just didn't know. Gosh.
Feel very impassioned about shopping small for the holidays. Yeah.
I obviously feel very impassioned about shopping small as a small business owner. And I honestly think I felt this way before. But now like I have more insight than ever because I'm actually running a business and like I understand the mechanics of it. I will approach this more from like a financial perspective. I can tell you that last year at holiday between November and December, we did over 50% of our margin for the whole year. Awesome. In those 2 months. So we really rely on customers during that period to, you know, shop at our store. It's a place that they like during the year. It's a place that they normally buy stuff for themselves. So to come and like Amy said, you know, be able to share on Christmas morning or whatever, you know, this is that store I tell you about all the time. It means a lot when people do that because it means that they're thinking about us. But even from an operational perspective, small businesses are working their asses off all year long to make ends meet and make it work so that they can continue doing something that they really love. They're providing a service to the community, even if it's not an essential service. It's providing an experience that you wouldn't have if that person wasn't running that business. So to be able to be rewarded by people thinking about us and shopping small, especially around the holidays, especially when it's so easy to just like go to Amazon and order something and know that it's going to be there in 2 days or whatever. It really means a lot.
No, and I think that's important. It has to kind of be intentional, right? I mean, every year we all do. I mean, I obviously do online shopping like a lot of folks do, but same. I try to be very intentional about supporting a local business. I do that a lot on Small Business Saturday after Thanksgiving. But also, you know, you have to think about, especially unique gifts. You know, it's hard to find unique gifts at Target or at, you know, I feel like this is a
again
Target
we
commercial.
Love Target.
No, we love Target sponsor this podcast, sorry. We'll be so nice next time.
Minneapolis money. No, but I think it's about meeting the store owner, that personal connection you get when you go in and you meet a store owner. Like I can go in and maybe not find what I want and say, hey, Lauren, are you thinking about carrying this brand? Or, you know, I imagine you get recommendations from customers to say, hey, have you ever thought about this? Or, you know, definitely. I just think it's something about meeting the owner that's special. You feel like your dollars are just better spent that way. I don't know. Something about it. It's just unique.
Yeah, I think just to follow up with that, we haven't talked about this on the pod yet, but we were chatting about it a little bit before. I am due with child in 6 weeks. So my,
and by the time you listen to this, it'll only be four.
So I'm not able to be around as much as I want to be, especially recently at the shop. You know, I'm kind of popping in and out, but I'm past a point where like I can really be there for a full shift. And I have these three incredible people who are working for me, and holding down the fort for me. And I think just the appreciation from customers, like, you know, asking about me, like asking how I'm feeling when I'm not there, like texting me and saying like, hey, are you going to be there at this time? Like, could you pop in? it really does make me feel like not only are they supporting my business, but they're supporting me personally. And we should probably have another Zappy alert for this. But sorry. But it's really special. And I don't think that that's something that would be happening if we weren't in a community like Stockton.
Yeah, we say that a lot. We're like the smallest big town. I mean, yeah. We are a big city, the 11th largest city in California. I think people tend to forget that because when you're here, everybody seems like family and you just know so many people in a personal way. I don't know. It definitely is unique. So when you have people visiting from out of town, and this is a question we ask all of our guests, Lauren. Okay. So if you have someone visiting from out of town and you come to it with fresh eyes because you've only been back a little over a year, mm-hmm. Where's your favorite place to take them when they're visiting?
Fresh off the plane, morning flight. It's got to be Trail Coffee.
Love it.
It's just such a cool, like if you've never been there, it's just such a cool building. Gianna's a good friend of mine, but it's the coffee's delicious. She's curated a really amazing selection of baked goods. She is now carrying like lunches from I can't remember the name of the restaurant. It's up by Thornton Road.
Up by Thornton Road.
It's like the kitchen at Stonebriar.
Kitchen at Stonebriar.
She's now carrying salads from the kitchen at Stonebriar.
There you go. West Lane.
Your geography was amazing on that.
Somewhere over there. But she's just built something that's really special, I think. And it deserves recognition. And it's, you know, I think it's one of those things where people would say like, oh, it's too cool for Stockton. And to me, like, that's exactly what Stockton should be. It's not that it's too cool for Stockton. It's like, it's just cool enough for Stockton. We just need more people to take chances and do stuff like that. Yeah, and then in the evening for dinner, Cast Iron Trinigo, best beer selection, in my opinion, in the city. Just a really exciting curation of taps, dependably good food, and on Thursdays and Saturdays, wonderful live music.
That was a very good recommendation. That was one of the best that one was thought out.
All in downtown Stockton, even.
All downtown.
No Miracle Mile locations, which I appreciated. You know, that's
well,
great.
Well, technically Trail does have a location.
Trail does have a UOP location.
Trail 2 or whatever it is. So,
yeah. Pacific very Trail.
Cool. I dig it. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing yourself with us and your story and a bit about the store and whatever else. So everyone, be sure to support her. Oh, actually, Lauren, where do people find you? Give your plugs, social and whatnot.
Okay, so we are located at 2106 Pacific Avenue on the Miracle Mile. We are across the street on the east side of the street of the Miracle Mile, across the street from Cocoa.
What days are you closed?
We are closed on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're open Wednesday through Saturday.
Yes, Wednesday through Saturday.
And those hours will get a little extended as we get closer to Christmas. You can find us on Instagram at Shop Santa Luna, and you can find us online at our web store at shopsantaluna.com.
Perfect.
And one last thing. I know you take the rad card because they just reloaded it today, which is the time of recording this, which is mid-November. But by the time, hopefully you'll load your card up and go shop at Santa Luna with your rad card because you get a lot of value there.
Amazing. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Ooh, I just got a rush. I'm like pissed I don't have my cell phone on me. So I'm like, I need to reload my rad card. I'm freaking out. Whew. Anyways, okay, that was awesome. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you for being part of the Stockton community and making it exciting for us and fun for people like me who have returned, and for just being a very positive light and a very awesome advocate for Stockton and all things happening. So appreciate you and all you are doing. So thank you,
Angel. Thanks for having me.
All right. And now we are going to head over to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Thanks, Amy. Stockton may be 329 miles north of Hollywood, but you'd be mistaken if you believe that there aren't a number of cinematic connections between the two cities. A great example, screen legend Janet Leigh from Psycho and The Manchurian Candidate was raised in Stockton, and both she and her daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis, are University of the Pacific alumni. Additionally, Stockton has housed production after production of amazing films throughout the decades, and I'm going to name just a few that you can catch either on DVD, Blu-ray, or on streaming devices. First up, arguably the greatest in the collection of films featuring Stockton, California, Raiders of the Lost Ark. The epic Steven Spielberg, George Lucas production used the Conservatory of Music building at University of the Pacific as the exterior setting for Marshall College in Bedford, Connecticut, the university where Indiana Jones teaches. Also, we have winner of 3 Academy Awards and based on the career of Louisiana Governor Huey P. Long, 1949's All the King's Men was shot entirely in Stockton, California. Shooting locations included the Hotel Stockton, the Old County Courthouse, the Old City Jail, Atherton Island, the McLeod Lake Lawn across from City Hall, the Stockton Waterfront, and the North Steps of Stockton City Hall. Dreamscape, the 80s sci-fi horror starring Dennis Quaid, Kate Capshaw, Christopher Plummer, and Max von Sydow, also used the University of the Pacific for its story. The exterior of Knowles Hall was used as a research institute in the film. And then we've got, of course, Fat City. Based on the novel set in Stockton, written by Stocktonian Leonard Gardner, it was only right that the 1972 film be shot right here in Stockton. It starred Stacy Keach, Jeff Bridges, and Susan Tyrell and focused on down-and-out boxers. It featured Zuckerman Farms, the no-longer-standing El Dorado Hotel in Red Man's Hall, the Stockton Civic Auditorium, the old macaroni factory near Gleason Park as a boxing ring, and other rural and downtown sites throughout our city. Flubber, starring comedic legend Robin Williams, was a remake, of course, of The Absent-Minded Professor, and following the trend of movies that are focusing on universities, the University of the Pacific played the part of Medfield College, where Williams' character teaches. And, of course, the classic crime drama Cool Hand Luke, starring Paul Newman as a southern chain gang rebel, utilized multiple rural locations throughout the Stockton area. Those locations included Davis Road near Dentone Park, the Roberts Island side of the San Joaquin River, and Old Brant Bridge. And let's not forget the cinematic masterpiece that is Hot Shots Part Deux. Starring Charlie Sheen and Lloyd Bridges, this 90s spoof of all things war film enjoyed the beauty located in Stockton by using the San Joaquin Delta. It was used for a number of river scenes throughout the film, including the fantastic cameo between Charlie Sheen and his father, Martin Sheen, where they're both crossing each other as Martin Sheen is parodying his Apocalypse Now character. Funny thing is, they both shout to each other, "I loved you in Wall Street," because they were both in Wall Street together. Inside jokes. And last but not least, we have Inventing the Abbots. The popular indie romance drama of the late 90s features a number of before-they-were-big thespians, like Liv Tyler, Academy Award winner Jennifer Connelly, Academy Award winner Joaquin Phoenix, and Emmy winner Billy Crudup. And again, University of the Pacific played the part of the University of Pennsylvania in that movie. Now, of course, the list goes on for how many movies and TV shows have been filmed here in Stockton, way more than we can fit into one episode of This is Stockton. But if you want to know more about those, you can actually go to Visit Stockton's About Us page and click on the Fun Facts icon, and you'll see most of everything that was filmed right here in Stockton, California.
I thought the Dreamscapes reference was pretty obscure, but I do have to say Hot Shot Part Deux was, you really took it over the edge there. So that was awesome. Really cool.
I have not heard of Hot Shots. I don't even know what that is.
This so is now Part Deux. Like
goober.
This is part the sequel.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing, honestly.
Well, and I get all my film and TV recommendations from Anthony, and he said that that's the one. So I'll be sure to get that in over the holiday season. We thought this would be an appropriate pop culture moment since we know people are going to be home in our freezing 50 degree weather of Stockton, California, or wherever you're listening from. So we figured this would be a good time to have some movie recommendations for all of you, and you can call out the locations in Stockton.
And what better way to warm yourself up than with Hot Shots Part Deux? I'm just
saying. I guess. Who would have thought? Part Deux. I like it. Awesome. Thank you very much, Anthony.
Welcome.
All right, my friends. Tis the season. And you know, if you weren't busy enough, why don't we throw some event recommendations your way? So here are some of the awesome things happening in the city. And to kick things off, Oliver at the Stockton Civic Theater. I could not remember at first when we were identifying these what Oliver was. And Wes stared at me in the eyes and said, "Sir, can I have some more?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's what Oliver is."
My British accent was a lot better than that.
Okay. But I couldn't compute at first. But anyways, if you guys guys haven't been to the Stockton Civic Theater to see a production in a while, it is so heartwarming and so sweet. It's a mix of adults and kids that put on these performances. They're all volunteers. Last year it was A Christmas Story and it was so good. Like I didn't know anyone in the performance, anything like that, but me and my husband went and it was so much fun. So I totally recommend you go check it out. So from now, December 1st through December 18th, it's going to be playing every Thursday through Sunday. And you can get more information on their website and or their Facebook and Instagram as well. But I highly recommend you go out and check out their rendition of Charles Dickens' Oliver. And I don't know, maybe you'll have a fun British accent to take home for the rest of the holiday season. So
please, who knows?
This weekend is actually one of the biggest weekends for holidays in downtown Stockton. And we have a new event this year with our new Stockton Holiday Parade, which will start at 3 p.m. Officially when it takes the streets in downtown Stockton. But actually at 2 p.m. you can get pictures with Santa Claus across from the Children's Museum. So this is a benefits the Children's Museum. First time parade, a parade on the streets of downtown Stockton. So go check out the Stockton Holiday Parade. And as soon as that ends, it feeds right in to the annual holiday tree lighting ceremony, which they'll be open from 3 to 7 at the Weber Point Event Center. The tree lighting is actually at 5:30, but before that, you can see Santa and Frosty the Snowman. There'll be food trucks, local vendors, snow falling. There'll be free hot chocolate. They'll have horse carriage rides that you can pay for, local performances, and then again, the official tree lighting in downtown at 5:30. And then as soon as that's done, everybody heads to the downtown waterfront because the annual Lin Han Memorial Delta Reflections Lighted Boat Parade happens. And if you haven't checked out a lighted boat parade in downtown Stockton, it's phenomenal. People have a fantastic time, from little tiny dinghies to large yachts, come to the downtown waterfront, all lit up. And it's just a great way to kick off the weekend. So you got a regular street parade, you got a tree lighting, you got a boat parade. I mean, we've got it all on December 3rd, this Saturday. So go check that out.
When I was submitting something about the lighted boat parade to an organization, I was like, remember when Disneyland did the Main Street Electrical Parade? I feel like this is the same thing, but on water. So skip Disneyland this year and spend your Saturday with us at downtown Stockton for all the cool things we have going on. And then following weekend, so next weekend on Saturday, December 10th, there's a new event happening. It's called Merge, and it's called Christmas on the Concrete, and they are hoping to bring together community, small businesses, and artists and spread the love throughout the city. So part of this group who's putting on this event had a really cool installation at Stockton Flavor Fest in May. So if you all were out in the back grass area, there was a bunch of large scale hands like doing different sign languages and like thumbs ups and peace signs. And they were like 6-7 feet tall. So this is the group who helped put together that installation are the ones who are also going to be putting on this event, which is like super cool. So they know what they're doing. There's going to be a bunch of immersive art there. They're going to have live music, local vendors, tons of art, and it's going to be held downtown in Lot N. It's right across the street from St. Mary's Church and next to the police parking lot under the underpass, which I think is a very cool venue to have something happen. So come check it out. Come dance with us to a live DJ on Saturday, December 10th.
And lastly, on Wednesday, December 14th, go check out Alton Brown. I've always been an Alton Brown fan from Good Eats. I just loved him on the Food Network. And now he does a roadshow, right? So he goes to different theaters, performs this show. This one's called Beyond the Eats. It's a holiday variant of his typical stage show. Comedy, music, cooking demos, and dangerous science stuff. So if you want to go see Alton Brown at the Bob Hope Theater, that'll be on Wednesday, December 14th.
And he has a Santa hat on in the ad. So I'm assuming there must be some holiday flair to it. So
most definitely.
I will for sure be there. So if you see me, you can buy me a drink at Alton Brown. You can tell me how much you love the podcast. So there you go. Love it. Okay. Anyway, so to see all the events on the city's largest event calendar, please visit visitstockton.org. And when you are there, you are welcome to sign up for our weekly events newsletter.
Awesome. We want to thank Lauren again for coming in and telling us all about Santa Luna. I expect to hear from her that she had the busiest holiday season ever. It's only our second one, but because you heard it here on This is Stockton podcast. And so go out and check out Sina Luna on the Miracle Mile.
Yeah. When you go to her shop, tell her that you are there because you heard her on the podcast. She'll love that.
Oh, yes.
And for supporting Images and Insights, be sure to follow at This is Stockton podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.